good morning, Sunrise. Welcome. Go ahead, find your seats. We're taking a little detour this morning from our regularly scheduled programming, if you will. As most all of you are aware, we lost Chuck Embry this week. He is the founding minister of Sunrise Christian Church. But beyond that, he touched so many lives. In fact, if you are here this morning, you have at least indirectly been touched by the ministry of Chuck Embry. And so we wanted to kind of honor him and remember him this morning and just take note of the impact that he has had and the legacy that he has left in our lives. So if you're new with us or maybe visiting this morning, I still trust that there is something in this that you will pick up. Because a guy who lived his life the way that Chuck lived his life leaves a lot of lessons for all of us. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13, Paul writes this. Now we ask you, brothers, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Talking about honoring those who lead you, honoring those that have helped shape your life. And certainly that has application to those who are currently leading, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, elder, pastor, whatever it is. But I also think there's a layer of application here that applies to somebody like Chuck, a man who has dedicated his whole life and spent so many years leading, preaching, teaching. And so we want to do that here this morning. And I'm just going to kick things off with one little thought, and then I'm going to turn it over to all of you who are much more qualified. We've got some people here this morning that are going to share some of their favorite stories and memories. But when Teresa and I first arrived here in Marshfield, we got in one of the vans out here with some of the church leaders. I think it was kind of the current elders at the time. And they took us all around town. And they showed us the places. Right? Here's the library. Here's the school. Here's the post office. Here's Oriental Inn. Here's Sheila's, you know, the important things, right? And so they showed us the places. But, you know, as soon as we got here, Chuck's like, hey, I want to take you around, you know. So, like, I'd only been here a week, and I got together with Chuck, and I make a similar tour with Chuck, except Chuck didn't take me to show me the places. He took me to show me the people. And what I got was, yeah, he was pointing out places, but it wasn't about the place, it was about the people. Well, there was a family there, and I led the whole family to Christ. And first I baptized him, then baptized her. And there was this person over here, and they were a Sunday school teacher. And I just got story after story of people. And that was Chuck's life. It was focused on the people. And it was just amazing here yesterday during his visitation and the funeral, meeting all of these people. I'd never seen them before, but I found out when, where, and how Chuck's life intersected with them. And I think if I put all those things on a map, we'd find a nationwide web of lives that Chuck has touched and the impact that he's had, and it continues to ripple out. And Chuck was just always focused on those relationships and those people. I was up there at Glendale Gardens the Friday before he died, and I was talking to Chuck. And I think many of you are aware that even up until the time that he left here, he had a group, a Bible study that he met with, that he hosted, that he taught. And Jerry, he was asking about you all. How are you doing? You know, are they still meeting? Are they this? You know, he was still concerned about the people and the relationships. That's what was on his heart. And that's what stuck out with me about Chuck. So right now, I am just going to turn it over to those who are going to speak, and you're going to hear some more stories about Chuck.
Good morning. I know I'm just going to tell you who I am because you guys probably don't recognize me with this. Okay, this is Mark. It's the same Mark I did something here that I'll share with you. I started a little timer because I knew that I needed to not stand up here for hours and babble on about a great friend of mine. I needed to keep it brief, and there's no way I can squeeze in what I have to say about Charles Embry in just a few minutes, but I'm going to do my very best. For those of you who don't know, I probably have known Chuck longer than anybody sitting here, since I don't see his wife or his sons, and that's because I started out as a little bitty guy in church camp. And it wasn't always easy. I'm not sure that a little bit of Terry wasn't cut from the same mold as me when we were that age. I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but every once in a while, when Chuck was our dean at church camp, I even actually got one of these. I think probably a few of you have got one of these from Chuck as well. But you know, there was never hatred in that. There was nothing but Christian love in that. And every time he did it, I needed it. Matter of fact, he didn't do it. A lot of times I did need it. Chuck has been a great friend. When we moved to the Marshfield area, gosh, Lynette, it's been a long time ago, but when we moved to the Marshfield area, we were attending Glendale Christian Church in Springfield, and that's where we moved from. And after a few weeks of driving all the way in there to make it to church, and we have trouble making it on time here, okay? But we really had trouble making it on time there. We called up to the church. Washington Street Christian Church was listed in the phone book, so we thought, well, that's where we want to call. So we called the church, and as soon as he said this is Charles Embry, I thought, man, I know that name. I know that name. And it was starting to click a bell with me when I said my name, and he said, Mark Peterman, I'm kind of glad you've grown up. But I did have the blessings to serve with Chuck for so many years. I don't know how many of y'all ever remember seeing him around Christmas time with Chuck and Joyce doing the church mice up here. And I was always afraid what they were going to say about me. You know, we were always waiting to hear the bomb drop. But from Washington Street, we went and built Hillside. And it was such an amazing journey. And that church wouldn't have been built without Charles Embry leading. And he was our construction manager on the job. And I only lived a few blocks from there, so it was really quick and easy to get down there and help him. But I was never there that he wasn't there. You know, Chuck constantly witnessed throughout his life. And I had the opportunity to go see Chuck the day before Dan went and saw him the last week he was alive. And the last thing Chuck ever said to me was, you know, Mark, I'm okay because I know Jesus has a place for me. And then he looked me square in the eyes and he said, are you positive that Jesus has a place for you if you went right now? And I was able to tell him, yes, I am, Chuck. And a lot of that is because of the guidance I got from many people like my father, my mother, but also like Charles Embry that was there from the time I was little bitty in church camp until just a few days ago. And he was there as my leader. He was there as my friend. You know, and that was the most important thing. I never met him when he didn't ask me how I was doing. I never met him when he didn't want to know how my kids were. All of my kids' walk in Christ became closer because of Charles Embry. You know, I'm looking at these last few seconds tick off on this little counter, and I have so much more I can say, but I want to leave you with this and tell you that he was my friend. And if we could just see the line standing behind this great man in heaven right now, waiting to shake his hand from the youth home to church camp to the people that married those people that he had so much to do with. There it is. He was such a great man in my personal life. And my kids and my parent, my dad and my brother and my two sisters all called, have all sent cards. The ones that could be here were here yesterday. Folks, we were blessed. And Godspeed to you, Charles Embry.
Jeff and Joyce Embry have been our trusted pastor and friends for 27 years. My first contact with the Embry family was their son Dave through Christian Campus House. He was a guest speaker at Glendale Christian Church where my sons and I were baptized. Dave had married my sister Michelle and her husband at Parkview Christian Church a few years earlier after the couple met at Campus House. My son Rick began SMFU in 1987 and attended Bible studies at Campus House. When he later joined a fraternity, Dave cared enough to send him a letter reminding him of his commitment to Christ and the dangers of a frat house. Dave had been taught that dedication to Jesus and to the truth by his father and mother. Shortly after our marriage in 1991, Claude and I met Chuck. We were attending Claude's home church. Chuck had stopped by Glendale Christian to speak to the minister. My mom, the church secretary, told Chuck I had married and moved to Marshfield. Chuck came to our home and invited us to Washington Street Christian Church. We began alternating between two churches, Claude's home church and Washington Street. I felt a good wife should attend her husband's church, but when Claude and I talked to the minister about joining, I was told I'd need to be baptized again. One thing Sid Alsbury at Glendale Christian had preached about multiple times was, don't let a pastor from another denomination tell you your baptism doesn't count. It wasn't biblical. When Chuck gave the altar call in May 1993, Claude and I became members of Washington Street. Chuck and Joyce made sure we met other members. They took us to Wednesday night Bible study, which alternated from home to home. We traveled to Elkland, Marshfield, and out in the country with them, listening to Joyce's stories as Chuck drove. Chuck asked Claude and I to help with Vacation Bible School. We did a lesson on Paul's stay with Ananias on Straight Street. Claude memorized his lesson, and I didn't do as well. Claude was a big hit in his bathrobe with sandals and a turban. Chuck and Joyce were also there to encourage us and counsel us. Claude's youngest children, who lived through their mother's death from cancer, were grieving. Claude was still grieving her death. My sons felt the loss of their father, who had left the home before they were grown. There were many things to work out to blend our families together. Joyce gave me good advice, and I am sure Chuck did Claude. So what did Chuck and Joyce do? They invited us to church. They integrated us into the body. They involved us by making disciples, and they multiplied the kingdom. Chuck Embry was a treasured member of our congregation and a true and faithful servant of Christ. Thank you, Chuck, for all you did on earth.
Okay, I'm going to go first. I didn't write mine down, so bear with me. We met Chuck when I was 16, and I started going to youth group with Roy at Washington Street Christian. And I was a bit of a lost soul at the time, and I didn't know where my faith was. I didn't really have a faith. I believed in God, but I hadn't been saved or baptized, and that happened many years later. But Roy and I were even married before I turned my life over. And Roy had talked to me numerous times. And I just had so many questions about my faith and where I stood. And I didn't understand. I kept saying, I don't understand it. I don't want to be baptized until I understand. And Roy had told me over and over, you know, just accept him, be baptized. You will understand. You won't understand everything now. It'll come. But I wouldn't listen. And it's all about God's timing. You know, Chuck and Joyce were always popping in for visits, and that's one of the things that I appreciate the most is the home visits. And quite often, and we were young, married very young, and we needed that advice. And on one of those visits, he just flat out asked me why I hadn't been baptized. Because I'd been going to church, Roy had been a deacon, and most people assumed that I had been. And I just said, I just don't understand it all. And you know, he said some of the same things that Roy had said to me, but sometimes it's the timing and a different person. Sometimes the same person telling you doesn't do the trick. And I don't know what it was that day, but there was something about the way he explained it to me that it kind of made sense. And he was right. Once I was baptized, I did understand. Everything started falling into place, and I started teaching Sunday school even. And I think now, Chuck, I've taught Sunday school for 23 years. I've led many Bible studies for ladies. And if any of you have ever been touched, I hope I've touched somebody in my life, but it's because of Chuck, a big part of it, because he's the reason. So when we went to his graveside yesterday, the pastor there was talking about leaving a garden at the grave. You know, you leave a garden. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible has always been the sower and the seed. It was one of the first lessons I taught with 3- and 4-year-olds, and it just has stuck with me. And that has been, like, my scripture all these years since. And whenever that pastor talked about that, it just brought all the things back that's what I have believed so strongly about, spreading seed and sowing seed and planting a garden. And Chuck planted a huge garden, and anybody he touched has planted more seed. And thousands of people have been reached because of him. My family didn't go to church. I was the only one in my family when I started going through that went in both sides. My grandparents did some. And when my mom's dad died, we didn't have a church home, so they asked Chuck to do the funeral. And after my grandpa passed, Chuck started visiting my grandma. They were believers. They believed in God, you know, but they weren't churchgoers. And the fact that he took the time to spend time with my grandma and my mom and dad, and then when my grandma passed, he performed her funeral. So he has planted seeds in my family. My aunts occasionally will ask about him. And that, again, they weren't churchgoing. Since that time, several members of my family go to church now. You know, I have aunts and cousins that go to church who maybe in some way, I think, Chuck may have had a part in that as well. So I guess that's my strongest memory, I guess, is that he led me to Christ pretty much. And that's the greatest gift that I could ever have. So I'm going to turn it over to Roy now, and he's going to share some more.
First of all, I have a lot of fond memories of Chuck and the kindness and compassion that he had for everyone. Dan said he was a people person. That was exactly who Chuck was. I first met Chuck when I started youth group at Washington Street Christian Church. He was the preacher there, and my Aunt Becky went to church there, so I started going to youth group. And later on, he married Carmen and I, and I'll say during the pre-marriage counseling, he gave us really good sound advice. That we still hold to today. It was also a hillside where I became a deacon. And I can't tell you how much I learned and grew under Chuck being the leader there. Again, I can also remember Chuck and Joyce coming to the house, visiting all the time. They also took my grandmother under their wing. Even when Chuck got to the age he couldn't get around well, he still wanted to visit her. He still asked about her. So again, he cared about people. try to change it a little bit. On one funny note, what Mark was saying about church mice, I don't know if you understood that or not, but they got on stage with these big mouse ears and they began to tell stories about people in the church that you really wouldn't know unless you were that person. And you're like, how in the world did they find that out about me? So from that time on, we knew they were the church mice, and you better watch what you do around the church, because they knew and they would share with others. So that was kind of fun. So again, I thank God that He's placed such a genuine, respectable, devoted, loving, caring, spiritual couple in Chuck and Joyce into my life to be an example for me. And I'll close by not wanting to say goodbye to Chuck, because that's too final. But that I'll see you later.
Chuck, for us, and for many of you, was a true and faithful servant of the Lord. We started coming to Sunrise about eight and a half years ago. Chuck and Joyce always had a kind word and genuinely cared about us like we were family. I had been out of church for many years, and Sean himself was not a Christian. Chuck and Joyce were one of the reasons we kept coming back to Wednesday night studies. Chuck answered Sean's questions with love, grace, and guidance. I know without a doubt Chuck's consistent prayers for Sean helped bring him to Christ. I know he was praying for us as a family as much as he prayed for many of you before we even realized he was doing it. I also know that he continued to pray for us even when he could no longer be here at Sunrise. We spent quite a bit of time with Chuck and Joyce at the food pantry. We quickly found the joy in serving there because of them. Even when it was hard on him, Chuck still wanted to be there to serve others. When he knew it was time to step off the board at the food pantry, he pulled Sean aside and asked him to take his place. This isn't a job Sean has taken lightly. He honors Chuck faithfully in his service there. When Chuck and Joyce were no longer able to come to the pantry, Cooper himself stepped in to be the caller in Chuck's absence. Oh, it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy when he does it. But it's a big job for Cooper, and he honors Chuck by doing this. Our family wants to live like Chuck, serve like Chuck, extend grace like Chuck, and love like Chuck. He will not be forgotten. He has made a huge impact in our lives. Several times over the last few days, we've heard people say that when Chuck came face to face with our Lord and Savior, he was greeted with a hug and a simple statement, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This is what we are all striving for. One of the easiest role models to take after and learn from was Chuck. I hope and pray that I can take what I've learned from Chuck, mimic it, and when I meet my Lord and Savior, hear those same words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, Chuck. Well done.
1987, Bob got a job here in Marshfield, and so he and I drove up one day to look the town over and see if we could find a place to live. And as we were driving around, we drove past this building, said Washington Street Christian Church, Minister Charles Embry. And we had gone to college with David Embry and wondered if maybe there was a connection. So we stopped and went in to see if he was there, and he was. And sure enough, it was Dave Embry's father. So we started feeling almost immediately at home, that this was a familiar name. And then we told him we were moving to town and looking for a place to live. And he said, well, there was a place just a block and a half down the street that was for rent. So he walked down there with us and we got the phone number. And I think he probably was the one that called the number and arranged for us to see the house. And we moved in. I think they thought we'd never get moved in because this was in May and school wasn't out yet. And we were in Joplin with the I was in Joplin with the kids, and Bob was up here working. And then we had to finish ball season, so I think it was toward the end of June before we finally got moved in. But he immediately made us feel at home, and checked on us every week, helped us with the moving, just whatever they could do, they did. And we just felt at home. He made us feel home. And one of my other memories, Bob was having some kind of minor outpatient medical procedure done. And I'd gone up, was sitting in the waiting room, and Chuck came in. Now, to me, for a minor medical outpatient surgery, that was amazing that he would come and sit with me during this procedure. And then I noticed clear on the far corner of the waiting room was Bob's boss, Lonnie. And Lonnie was there because his wife was having some kind of procedure. And somehow Lonnie saw me, and came over to speak. And he ended up sitting down across from us. And he and Chuck had a great man conversation while we were waiting. And I was feeling a little left out. But I thought, you know, this is okay because this is Chuck. Chuck will minister to whoever he thinks needs ministering to. And I think because Lonnie was there by himself, he needed it more than I did. Because Chuck was still there. He hadn't left. And he'd waited till the procedure was over with and everything was fine and he went home. And I finally did too. When I heard the news, we called the younger son, Chris, and I told him about this. And I said, well, do you have any special memories of Chuck? Oh, there's so many of them. And then the next thing he said were trips. He remembers Chuck taking time to take kids to church camp or pick them up from church camp, whatever needed to be done. And he also remembers when he was thinking about college and he was thinking about Bible college. Chuck took time off to drive our son to Central Christian College of the Bible in Moberly, which is not 30 minutes away. I mean, this is a day trip. And he took Chris up there so Chris could look over Central. It's where Chuck had worked, so he knew where he was going and who to introduce Chris to. And Chris still remembers that. Now, he didn't choose Central, he chose Ozark. But still, he remembers Chuck taking the time to take a high school kid to look at a college.
Okay, well, I had some things written down, and I thought I was going to remember them all, and apparently I've not slept enough. Those are things that we remember also. We moved down here in 1986, in May of 86, and Chuck and Joyce had moved here just a few weeks prior to that. And we came across Washington Street Christian Church. We were just driving around looking for a church and found that one. And we started attending there probably in June. And we, our first memory of him is, I think we'd just gone a time or two. And I'm sure he asked us who we were, our story. Da, 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 da. And at the time, Terry was making $5 an hour as a janitor. I was not working. He got paid once a month. Somebody came knocking on our door. I opened it up, and there was Chuck Embry with two bags of groceries, like paper bags of groceries he brought to us. We were just floored, you know, dumbfounded that somebody would do that for us. So, you know, that's our very first memory. But I thought of some things that would describe him, and they all start with the letter P. He was pastoring and preaching were his passions. You know, he loved to preach. When he retired, he still went around preaching. He pastored, as you've heard other people talk about. He took care of people. That was who he was. And planting the seeds, like Carmen said, preaching, pastoring, planting, that was in his blood, making hospital visits. When I had my girls, he was the only, besides my mother, the only person that came to the hospital. That was, well, you were home taking care of the dog.
Yeah. Apparently it's a force.
that's who he was. Potential. He saw the potential in so many people. He saw the potential in us. He brought us those groceries. We hadn't been a member at Washington Street more than a month. And he says, hey, Lisa, would you go to church camp and be a dorm mom? I was 19. I knew nobody. So he and Joyce load me up, take me to church camp and dump me out with kids who I looked like I was the same age as. But he saw the potential. He asked us to start teaching Sunday school pretty quickly. He saw the potential. You know, all of the things that he did. When he started Sunrise, Terry and I were somewhere else at the time. And he called me up and he said, "Lisa, is there any way that you could come and do the music for us? Because I dabble in the keyboard." And I wasn't sure. And I did. But he saw the potential in what I could do and what I could do for the kingdom. He saw the potential in our kids. He would ask our girls to, he baptized both of our girls. He would ask them to sing. He loved to hear them sing. And our son, he and Joyce, years ago, told us that that they feel strongly that our son's going to be a preacher. We're still praying. Chuck and Joyce prayed for him daily. For years they've prayed for our son. And that's huge. That's huge. Because Chuck's never going to see the fruits of that. But hopefully someday we will. He also saw the possibilities. You know, if anybody saw the obituary and saw all of the different things, or if anybody was here and saw the tables that were out there yesterday, of all of the things that he did through the years, the things that he accomplished, he saw the possibilities in a new building or a camp, whatever it might be, and he was persistent with it. You know, that that can be a good thing and a bad thing. A lot of us would see that was a fault of his a little bit, was his persistence. Because as he and one of his sons, one of his sons, Steve, and I were talking yesterday, there was no plan B for Chuck. It was plan A. And if plan A didn't work, too bad. It was plan A. And that's how he was able to get a church camp going or get work at the Bible college or just, you know, make so many disciples because he was persistent. It was going to be plan A. So, and people. But I guess the last P that I have is potluck. He loved meals. He loved eating with people and just sitting down at the table. And so those are our memories. I mean, we could go on and on because we've known them for so long and they've encouraged us in so many ways. And the one church mouse story that I have... This is the first time they did it. They said, they would use their little squeaky mouse voices, "And we know a certain elder who has been talking about getting a tattoo." They didn't name names, but I knew who they were talking about. You know, so that was our first little church mouse experience. But they didn't do it in a mean spirit. They were doing it just to be fun. To show that they knew who you were, that they listened, that they knew. And so we can only hope that, you know, we can carry that legacy in what we do for the Lord.
Okay, well, they saved me for last, so somebody set a timer. Sure. Hope this all works out. I think here in America we live well, don't we? First impressions are so important. Boy, we can't wait. We fill our kids' minds with that. I don't think we die so well, though. Romania was under the curtain of the Soviet Union until 1989. In Romania is a little cemetery, and it's called the Mary Cemetery, M-E-R-R-Y. And on all of these stones, in this desolate country, if you know anything about Romania, we're talking poverty, bomb-ridden, etc., etc., there's this little cemetery, and all of the stones are painted in fluorescent colors. And on these epitaphs are the truth. So-and-so was a town drunk. So-and-so cheated on their wife. We don't die so well, do we? We want something to be said about us. Plenty was said about Chuck here this morning. I do know this, though. When it comes to dying, he did it well. I will tell you that. Reminded of a story, one that we heard this week about Elijah and Elisha. Some crazy things happen here. Here's what it says. "So he departed." They're talking about Elijah. "From there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing
with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed him by and cast his cloak upon him. You see, what happened here yesterday was not necessarily a man be buried in a cemetery, but a stake drove in the ground. He has run up beside you and me, and he's taken his cloak and thrown it on us. You see, to pass the torch. Because the little thread of Chuck's life that was woven into my life, woven into your lives, still gets woven into God's story. This ain't Chuck's story. God is still the main character the last time that I checked. And I'm going to tell you, if Chuck stood before you today, he would go, "Enough of this nonsense." And that's exactly how he would say it. "I just want to know one thing. Do you know who Jay is?" You see, I got a box of Chuck's sermons. Nobody wanted them. Sign me up. I'll take them. I'm thumbing through these. By the way, Roy, I've got a great sermon for next Father's Day. He preached it in 2007 at Silver Dollar City. But as I was thumbing through here, all of these sermons, I've read them from 1968 and forward. Every single sermon ended this way. Do you know who Jesus is? That's what he once said. That's what was important. So the fabric of Chuck that lies on this place, hallowed ground as it is, was woven by him for God's kingdom. The stake has been driven. I was 21 years old when he ran by and threw the cloak on me. By the way, it says here that Elisha ran after Elijah. I think in some sense, to go, "Are you really sure about this?" It took 18 years for Elisha to take that cloak and move forward with the ministry, but he did. And Chuck's like, "Hey, Terry, you should be doing youth ministry." I told him he was out of his mind. By the way, I got my tattoo. He would never approve. Never did show him. But let me tell you something. Church, you have one job. Do you know who Christ is? You pick up where the stake was driven, and you go forward. I'll pray, and then we'll continue with communion. God, I just thank you so much. Fond memories, funny moments, life-changing events. The epitaph of a man that you placed on this planet to further your kingdom. God, we just thank you for your story, for this thread that was woven into my cloth. And as my cloth was woven into other people's cloth, and as our cloths are all woven together for the kingdom of God, let us not grow weary of the work. Let us not grow weary. Let us go proclaim the gospel so that one more might know. Do you know who Jay is? For these things I ask in your name. Amen.